from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. We're going to do some money in politics. We got one out of the two. We're still looking for Steve Moore. Is he around? Haven't gotten him yet. All right, Sunday we'll get him, but who needs him? We got DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor. DeRoy, welcome back. I'd rather talk to you.
Less Moore, more Murdoch.
That's good. DeRoy, have you looked at this lawsuit, the latest antitrust lawsuit from this Lina Khan socialist lady against Apple? And it's not even, it's Apple operating system, the iOS. And she says that's monopolistic. So we have to break up Apple, which I think is about as dumb as it gets. Just go after American technology companies. Meanwhile, I'll give you some numbers. It's just a sort of interesting. Tip Insights did a piece on this. So Apple's operating system's called iOS. It's only got, let's see, 20% of the world's, 28% globally, 28% market share. Whereas Android, which is really the dominant mobile platform, the dominant operating system, has a market share of 71%. Okay. And then if you look at the hardware, you know, the smartphones themselves, so Apple's got 20%, Samsung's got 19%, Xiaomi 13%, Oppo 9%, Transsion 8%, others, quote unquote, 31%. So I don't understand this at all, except that Lina Khan, everything she's done, she's been thrown out of courts. Nothing. She just hates business and wants to break up every business. What do you make of that, DeRoy?
That's all very interesting. These numbers are new to me. I mean, those are worldwide figures you're giving me. I'm not sure if the U.S. figures are significantly different and if she's basing her decisions on worldwide market share, U.S. market share. But in any case, assuming that those numbers are what she's using, you know, I don't think you really start worrying about a monopoly until you're somewhere at, I don't know, 60, 70, 80%, something like that. Certainly not 20 or 19 or 23 or anything of that sort. And that sounds like a pretty, you know, if they've got one-fifth of the market, then the other 80% are divided among other players. It doesn't sound like any kind of monopoly to me. I think large, probably what it is, especially if Android's got 71% of this operating system, and you're telling me that Apple's only somewhere in the 20s. Mm. I think Apple's just the world's largest company, or one of them. They're probably you know, too big to be allowed to operate. And she, be probably being good socialist that she is, just sees it as a, you know, a big whale that ought to be harpooned. Just for harpoon's sake, just for the sheer joy of, you know, sticking harpoon in a big whale in the digital ocean. I imagine that's her way of thinking. And I know that, I believe she's also been involved in a number of episodes where companies have tried to merge, and she said, "Nah, it'll be, you guys will be too big, and we can't have that."
So, yeah, big as bad.
A lot of the proposed mergers have just you know, crashed onto the rocks as a consequence of her hostility to capitalism.
I mean, when you think about it, with these tech, you know, these smartphones. The evolution of these smartphones, the price comes down, the software systems improve, they're all little computers, you can do anything on them. This is something we should like, not dislike. Now, I know some conservatives want to break up some of these big social media companies or tech companies because they're run by lefties. Okay, now I don't like the lefties either, but mm-hmm. You know, it is American technology is number one, and we want to keep it number one. I mean, the political opinion, that's a human resource. It's an HR problem. We shouldn't be going breaking them up because they're HR. You know, they may be too woke for our taste, but these are great companies. I mean, I don't want to break them up.
Well, look, you know, I'm not crazy about the left-wing orientation of companies like Google and Facebook and the others, but they're private companies. And if they want to, you know, take their private money and you know, say nasty things about Larry Kudlow and DeRoy Murdoch, they have a right to do it. And what we ought to do is find wealthy people on our side to cough up some cash and start their own alternatives, like Truth Social, which President Trump has done. And you obviously saw that merger that went through yesterday. And I think Trump, if once all this goes through, is going to have an extra $3 billion in his pocket.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you can make it as big as Facebook, but I'll try. At least have an alternative, and you know, it may not be that big, but if it's big enough to get a message out, then hallelujah. You know, I think that our side needs to have our own movie studios. We need our own publishing companies. I think because given how crazy left the other side has become, we pretty much have to have a duplicate communications infrastructure with our own networks, publishing houses, probably talent agencies, theatrical outlets, et cetera, so we can get our messages out. And I don't necessarily mean, you know, heavy-hitting kind of dry documentaries. We ought to be making feature films with actors and actresses playing fictional roles that, you know, maybe could be just rather than a big sort of didactic kind of film, just a movie about a guy who starts a company and, you know, all the different ways the government kind of gets in the way and keeps him from prospering. That could be a fun, interesting comedy, which makes those points without, you know, knocking people over the heads with skillets. And we have so many people on our side. You know, if you and I were on the left, we could walk into George Soros's office or his son's office and walk out with $100 million for whatever our project is. You remember the women's campaign, women's march, I should call, which is started by Linda Sarsour, the people who did the pink pussycat thing that they did the day after Trump was inaugurated. They walked into George Soros' office, walked out with $250 million, $250 million. On our side, if somebody from Heritage or Cato or AEI goes into some businessman's office and gets a check for $250,000, you know, that's a cause for celebration. That's a big deal.
I'm going to sign up for Truth Social.
$250 million, and, you know, nobody bats an eye.
I'll do it for stock. No cash. I'll take the stock.
There you go. Exactly.
I think we found Steve Moore.
Put up more cash.
Steve Moore, are you out there?
Larry.
All right. Hello? You there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. All right. Steve Moore, okay. WABC radio host of More Money, following this show on most of these same stations. You wrote a piece about Apple in your hotline, Prosperity Hotline.
Yep.
So Apple has market power. Big deal. We were looking at this is about the operating system, and I was just talking to DeRoy about this. Some numbers from StatCounter, which was printed in a good article in TippInsights. Anyway, Apple's operating system, iOS, worldwide has a 28.5% market share worldwide. Android has a 71% share worldwide. Mm-hmm. So why are they going after Apple?
They don't like success. I mean, this is Apple is one of the greatest success stories in history. Steve Jobs was a genius. We should all be proud of the fact that this is an American company. Investors have made trillions of dollars off of Apple. And I regard this as an assault against free enterprise and economic success and private property rights. They own the operating system. They should be able to decide, not government, who has access to it. If you don't, if you want some of these apps that Apple isn't putting on their phone, buy another phone. But this is really outrageous. And unfortunately, even some of the, you know, my conservative friends have come out in favor of the Justice Department and the Biden government trying to attack an American company. No, nowhere else in the world would this happen. Do you think the Koreans would attack Samsung? I mean, it is. If I sound angry about this, I am. This is harassment of an American company that has been, you know, the Henry Ford. I mean, Steve Jobs was the Henry Ford of the late 20th century, and he should be held up as a hero. And this company should, they own it. They built it. It's theirs. The taxpayer didn't pay for this. Al Gore didn't invent the iPhone. And think about one other thing, Larry. Think about this. I mean, I'm talking to you on an iPhone right now. 25 years ago, Steve Jobs had this vision that you could get everything you want on a cell phone, a smartphone, that virtually every American today owns one. Think about that.
I know.
How are they a villain?
He knew we needed one when we didn't even know we needed one. That was the brilliance
exactly.
of that guy.
That's the other thing. They keep saying they have market power. They created the market.
That's right. By the way, worldwide, the hardware, the phone itself, not the operating system, but the phone, Apple 20%, Samsung 19%. And then you have the other ones, Xiaomi 13%, Oppo 9%, Transsion 8%, others 31%. I mean, They don't have a monopoly of the operating system. They don't have a monopoly of the actual smartphones. They don't have a monopoly. I mean, I know you got some lefties. I was saying to DeRoy before, that's a human resource. That's an HR department problem.
Yeah.
Too many lefties. But don't crash American tech companies. Don't crash them.
You know what? Yeah, they're going after. Do you know what the first cell phone was? It was Motorola.
Yeah,
you know, that didn't survive. And then you had BlackBerry, and then you had all these others. So it's not like there's a lot of competition. It's just that Apple provides a superior product. Isn't that what free market capitalism is about?
That Motorola thing cost about $4,000.
Exactly.
You know, that's and really now
it
you
didn't have a camera. It didn't have all the apps. It didn't have any of the things that the smartphone has today.
Now they give them away, basically. They just give you one.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's really a bad story. All right, let's see. You want to take a break now? We're going to take a break. We'll play Fannie Willis's favorite theme song coming out of the break so we can get warmed up for the second half. Fannie Willis, Stand By Your Man. Here it comes again. I can't get enough of it. So what happened to him?
Larry Kudlow.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking money and politics. We got Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and WABC radio host of More Money coming up after this show on many of these same stations. And we got DeRoy Murdoch, Fox News contributor extraordinaire. Steve Moore, so the House and Senate finally got through, passed a stopgap budget. It's not a great budget. It's got some good, some not so good. But my friend Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's a good friend of mine, she now is talking about calling for a vote to get rid of Speaker Mike Johnson. Like, here we go again. I don't know why. You know, I mean, these budgets, who cares? We got through them. Can't we wait until Trump wins and we take the Senate and the House back and then do some serious budget work? I mean, what's the point of knocking out Mike Johnson, who, by the way, is a genuine conservative? What do you think about this, Steve Moore?
I think it's ridiculous. I think that, you know, as the Wall Street Journal called it today, Mayhem Johnson.
Mayhem Taylor. No, I mean, Mayhem Taylor Green. Mayhem Taylor Green. Yeah.
Yeah, look, I couldn't agree more with you on what you just said. Look, the Republicans have, what, a 2 or 3 seat majority right now in the House?
I think it's one.
Is it one? Okay, so, you know, you've got a 1 seat majority out of 435. Try to get 218 votes for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really incredible. And I like Speaker Johnson a lot. I think the Republicans made a horrendous mistake in getting rid of Kevin McCarthy. Mm-hmm. I had disagreements with McCarthy, but he was a good speaker. And by the way, he raised the money and traveled the country to get Republicans the majority in the first place. So I think that you said it very well. If you care about a runaway government spending and debt, if you want this economy to grow faster, if you want to get more revenues in through growth, which is the only way you're going to get more revenues, you got to get Joe Biden out of the White House, and you've got to get Donald Trump back with his pro-growth agenda.
Yeah.
And it is unreasonable for anyone to think that we're going to dictate the policy outcomes when we have a one or two seat majority in the House. We don't have the Senate because Chuckie Schumer runs that. Joe Biden runs the White House. And I don't like taking the target here is Schumer and Biden, not Speaker Johnson.
Yeah.
We're diverting attention away from the real problem, Larry.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's just, you know, DeRoy, these little budget things, I call them little budget things, these CRs and so forth.
Right.
It's a lousy way to do business. Everybody knows that. And the stuff inside it, there's some stuff that we like and a lot of stuff that we don't like. But the point is, as Steve Moore is saying, you can't. There's nothing you can do about it. And the better off, what you don't want to have to go through a government shutdown. Republicans will get blamed in the House.
Right.
You're losing. I think the point is, chart a policy course.
Right.
You know, if Trump wins and we win Congress and Senate, right? So you'll be taking down the budget, keeping the tax cuts in place, deregulating, closing the border. In other words, the policy communication is what matters right now. Here's the Republican agenda. These actual budget votes, I mean, the public doesn't follow this stuff anyway. So getting rid of Mike Johnson, who I might add is probably the most conservative speaker in the history of the United States. I mean, the guy's a genuine conservative on every subject. You know, I don't get that excited about it. Tell us what's the future agenda. That's where we should be focused.
Well, I agree with both you and my friend Steve. Hello, Steve. On the futility of getting rid of Johnson and going through this, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of trying to find another speaker with a one-seat majority. That's just absurd. But I do think that one of the ways you advance the agenda is to remember that all money bills come out of the U.S. House of Representatives. So what these guys should have done is passed a continuing resolution without all these pork barrel items. They shouldn't have been there. And just could have said, look, we're going to keep all the spending where it is. We're going to cut it 1%. Very simple. I think you can get 218 votes for that. And then what you need, in order to let the American people know what you've done, you don't quietly send the bill through internal mail. You have all 218 members of the U.S. House march the piece of legislation across the Capitol with cameras in front of them and say, Chuck Schumer, here is our bill. We have passed this. It's now in your court. We are not responsible for any government shutdown. We have done our jobs. You do yours. And then Schumer can pass his bill. And then you do something we hear about this all the time. You haven't heard this phrase in years. Conference committee. You go to a conference committee and you compromise. And then you come back with a bill that maybe is not what you and I and all three of us would like, but it's not as left-wing as Chuck Schumer would like. And you have a conference committee, conference report that splits the difference, and you pass that. That's what they should do, rather than just saying, okay, well, you know, Chuck Schumer is going to push a left-wing bill, so we're going to pass a left-wing bill here in the House to save him the trouble. That's ridiculous.
So I think
the GOP has to remember they have the ball in their court when it comes to money bills, and they should behave accordingly.
Did you see the pictures of Schumer coming out of the late-night meetings? His ties askew, his jacket, his shirt was falling out of his pants. God, he looked awful. That's because he's attacking Israel all the time.
There you go.
Schumer's there to attack Israel. I thought Israel was our ally. Steve Moore, is Israel our ally? I can't tell anymore. Biden attacks them. Schumer attacks them. They just filed a resolution in the UN calling for an immediate permanent ceasefire. I mean, whose side are we on? Are we for Israel anymore? The democracy, our ally in the Middle East? I'm confused, Steve Moore.
Yeah, it sounds like what we've got in Washington now is Israel and Apple are our two biggest enemies.
Amazing.
You're absolutely right. Israel and Apple. Yeah, yeah. While Letitia James is going to destroy the New York real estate market. It's not going to happen. Trump's going to got cards up his sleeve. DeRoy, how's it look? Give me your forecast for the I know who you're for, DeRoy, but tell me what you're thinking about the presidential race.
I think if it's Joe Biden versus Trump and Biden doesn't pull out for some reason, I suppose it would be health reasons, he's been wanting this job since he was probably 10 or 12 years old. He's got it. He wants to keep it. Dr. Jill Biden likes being first lady. So, you know, I think he's the nominee, period. And I don't know who these party elders are supposed to step in and change that. And I think if it's Trump versus Biden, people are just going to say, look, we can't take four more years of basically American socialism. My one fear is that when the election comes, that Trump will get more votes, but Biden might get more ballots. And the Democrats are fantastic at the early voting and mass mail-in ballots and all kinds of shenanigans. And if they can steal this election, they will, like they stole the last one. So we have to be extremely vigilant about this. We ought to be using two federal statutes that dictate that Election Day is the Tuesday next after the first Monday in November, which means all this early voting and all this other nonsense violates not one but two federal statutes. We should be in federal court in all 50 states trying to throw out all of this stuff. We're litigating this, and we're not. We should be. And I've been talking about this nonstop, and nobody does anything. We should be in court trying to knock out all of this stuff.
Laura Trump is on it.
That'll be happening Monday morning.
Laura Trump is on it. She's now the co-chair of the RNC. I interviewed her on my show, but she's on it. She's saying that they're going to be ready. They're going to have to vote earlier because they're going to be, mail-in ballots. They're going to have to vote earlier, and they have to get the harvesters ready so the Democrats don't steal it again. And the Republicans are waking up. They've got lawyers throughout the country. So I think they're basically on that story. And I think it's the Trump's campaign right now is run better than the one in 2020 and maybe even better than the one in 2016. I mean, I think he's in pretty good shape, Steve Moore.
Yeah, I think one thing I really like, first of all, Trump has run a great, great campaign so far this year. Amazing. He wiped away the entire, a pretty strong field of Republicans, no question about it. And so kudos to Susie Wild and Jason Miller's run a great campaign for Trump. And I like Trump. You know, he's taking our advice, Larry. He's basically saying to the American people, are you better off with the policies today than you were 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And that's what I want this election to be about. Biden is saying, well, you are better off. And I don't see how people could believe that, given that everything's 20% more expensive, that we have a border out of control, all of these things. If it's about policy, Trump will win.
All right. We'll finish. Thank you, gentlemen, Steve Moore and DeRoy Murdoch. And here's Fannie. We're going to close with Fannie Willis's theme song. Stand by your man.